punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Ooh, it's heated out. It's heating up out there in the old agriculture world. Storms coming in this weekend. Peanuts need to be harvested. Cotton needs to be harvested. And for you late bloomers, wheat needs to be planted, or rye, or whatever you're planting. Anyway, it's time to get her done. Anyway, it's gonna be hectic in the ag world in western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle for the next 3 or 4 days. I guess they're predicting pretty good storms this weekend, but we'll see. As I said, it's a prediction. Let's check out what's happening around western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle right now. Looks like Slapout. You're the warmest in the state, 71 degrees. Beaver, you're 67. Woodward, 67. Elk City and Eric, 66. Also Weatherford, 59 degrees at Altus. Kind of the cool spot in the state, actually. And 63 at Hollis and 68 at Canadian, Texas. 66 at Shamrock, Texas, and Wellington, Texas is 64 degrees. Anyway, it's Monday. Welcome back. Had a good weekend. Hope everybody else had a good weekend. Chad and Bobby got some peanuts thrashed yesterday, so I got to bale some hay, and it baled good. Them some pretty bales last night. Anyway, and then I got to bale up some of the stuff from got rained on last week. It not so pretty, but it'll still work. And got them baled up. Gonna start thrashing again today, baling again tonight. Peanut harvest is underway again. Cotton stripping, I don't know. I need to contact one of my inside informants out there in the cotton world and see if they're doing anything today. Cotton's kind of finicky as far as moisture's concerned. We'll see what's happening right there. Well, all kinds of good things happened last week at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. A lot of area schools participated. I know Merritt, Canute, some other local schools all sent a group of FFA chapter students up there. But there are some good things that came out of the convention. Karsten Cantrell from Skytook, she is the Central Region Vice President for the National FFA Chapter. So congratulations, Karsten, on doing that. And also, on a local level that I know of, I did some research this morning, and as far as locals concerned, Luke Gallagher of the Altus FFA chapter, right south of us here in Oklahoma, he won the national title in the beef production entrepreneurship proficiency category. How about that? He began his supervised agriculture experience by purchasing 15 cows and 2 bulls, raising the calves and selling them. He applied to the U.S. Department of Agriculture Beginner Farmer Program in 2021, helping him purchase 320 acres and 361 backgrounded stocker steers. So congratulations, Mr. Luke, from down at Altus. Great job, and there was all kinds of they'll be posting more awards total. They were the national champions of the National FFA beef judging deal and contest. Sorry, not deal, but contestant. And one of them from Tuttle, Destry Emerson, won the highest individual on the judging. So anyway, congratulations to them, and also Reagan McGee of the Ulagal FFA chapter in Oklahoma. Spent 3 years researching the use of specific treatments to improve biosecurity measures taken by livestock producers. So she won the national title in the Proficiency Awards on that deal on agriscience and animal systems. So congratulations to all those national FFA kids from Oklahoma. Tomorrow I'll get you updated on what happened from anybody from in the Texas Panhandle. Great deal. And speaking of FFA, the Merit FFA labor auction will be tomorrow evening, Tuesday. The meal is at 6:30 and it's being provided by Blue Mountain Smoke. That's just worth the trip in its own. And the auction begins at 7 o'clock, and all this will happen in the school cafeteria. That coming from a text from my partner in crime, Miss Jancy Ripto. Hopefully she'll be in this Thursday, not have a test or something because she was gone last week, and kind of give us insight of what all was going on up there in Indianapolis at the National FFA Convention. Great job, kids. We love you and keep it up. The text line is open at 580-225-9697. If any of you guys are listening out there and the FFA chapter has something coming up, or your 4-H program has something coming up, don't be bashful. Text me or message me on Facebook or something, and I'll be glad to put it on the air here because I'm all about that. Anyway, we got next week coming up is Veterans Week. We're going to have somebody in here every day or on the phone with me at least that's a farmer or rancher that's a veteran. I want to talk to one of them, one segment per day, just to, you know, talk to them. Yeah, we all support our veterans, and we'll have that going on. And what else is going on? I did take a peek at the long ranger, so FYI, you guys keep an eye out on the weather. And not only we're supposed to have some severe weather this weekend, but towards next week, and especially towards the end of next week, our temperatures are going to be highs in the low 50s and lows in the low 30s. So be prepared for some winterization going on. Things are just going to, our weather pattern is starting to change. It is November, and we'll see how that goes. Also coming up next segment, I will have some information from Lieutenant James Edwards from Lieutenant James from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department, giving you what the total so far is on archery and muzzleloader season ended yesterday. See how the progress is going on how many deer have been harvested so far in Oklahoma, and see how that goes. All right, well, first of all, let's see what some of the grain reports are going, because there's all kinds of chaotic news going on in the world right now. But corn futures for December, 687. It's up nicely today, 6. March is 692. May is 690. July is 684. Soybeans, November, 1388. January, $14 even. And March is 1409. Soybean meal for December is $422.50 a short ton. It's actually one of the few grains that are in the red today. January, $413.70. March, $403.70. Soybean oil, December, $73.35. January, $70.57. March is $67.98. Hard red winter wheat, December, $9.55. It's up a bunch today. It's plus 30 today. March is 951. It's plus 26. Oats are up nicely, still not to the $4 mark, but December is 377 and March is 386. Cotton, man, it just keeps, it's going backwards is all I can say. December is 72 cents and also March is 72 cents. And then how about that sugar? Man, Brian, if you're listening today, you need to get that sugar hedge, because it's going backwards too. You're losing money right now. It's below 18 cents a pound. So get her going there. Crude oil is down. Natural gas is actually up back above $6 now. And I did a little research, and I'll just briefly go over it with you real quick before my phone, it's in there, battery's going dead. It was on the shortage of fuel, diesel fuel mainly. You guys been hearing about that over the weekend, and so I did a little research, and this is the best that I could come up with. The four reasons that there's going to be a shortage is a couple of these factors are in play every year. As mentioned, distillate demand spikes at this time of the year, but it does it every year, so that's just one of them. And this is also the time of the year that refineries are doing maintenance. They tend to do that in the spring and the fall, which is when demand is lower and the weather is decent. So refinery capacity drops at this time of the year. That's another one. The third one, third reason why this is, U.S. refinery capacity has fallen in the past few years as several unprofitable refineries were closed. So that's a new factor that has appeared in the past couple of years. But the primary reason is the cutoff of Russian imports. Prior to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. was importing nearly 700,000 barrels per day of petroleum and petroleum products. Most of those imports were finished products and refinery inputs that boosted distillate supplies in the United States. So there you go. There's your four reasons. On social media, it's Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden. On actually, it's not. So anyway, there's your four reasons why we could have a shortage of diesel fuel here coming up. So anyway, everybody just needs to be prepared. I wouldn't panic over it. Talk to your supplier, fuel supplier, see what they're thinking, and that's the best way. Just don't panic on it. And but I think everything will be just all right. Hopefully it will. I hope I'm not wrong on that deal there. All right, before we go to break, let's check out what our cash grain prices are at the elevator. Why did you do that to me? Here we go. I got you going back again here. Computer, computer, computer. Here we go. Where is it at? Hard red winter wheat cash grain prices today is $9.21 at the elevator. Corn is at $7.73. Milo's $7.13. And soybeans $13.77. There we go. When I come back from break, we'll talk a little bit about cattle. And some I got all kinds of good stuff. I got Texas for you guys out there in Texas. I got your hay report for you. I also got the Texas Oklahoma livestock reports from the sell barns last week. Happening right now over there at Clinton is the Western Oklahoma livestock auction that's going on. I'll have all those good results for you tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow is the cow and bull sale for the Woodward livestock auction. And then Wednesday, Hobart Stockyards. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 21st. 2,227 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 469 brought 185. 7 at 506 brought 173. 11 at 538 brought 159.50. 7 at 589 brought 145. 3 at 667 brought 137. 13 at 678 brought 172.50. 10 at 821 brought 155. 12 head of heifers at 394 brought 176. 6 at 428 brought 167. 10 at 476 brought 164, 4 at 499 brought 155, 13 at 541 brought 159.50, 4 at 573 brought 143, 5 at 647 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 10 to 78.50, butcher bulls brought 54 to 107, bred cows were 600 to 1325, pairs brought 850 to 1335. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
-70 degrees at Arnett, Oklahoma. 65 at Hobart, Oklahoma. And Capitol of Harmon County, Hollis, you're 66. Just nice day out there. I didn't even check the wind. What's the wind doing out there? It can change. Let me check it out here. No wind, really. Any south, out of south, 4 miles an hour. I know last night when I was baling hay and they were thrashing peanuts there next to me, that dust was thick and it wasn't moving very fast. So hopefully the baler wasn't on fire behind me, because I couldn't have seen it. But anyway, no, it was all good. It was just no wind. And when it did get dark, that peanut got tough in a hurry. Didn't take long for Chad to shut her down. Anyway, all right, let's see what's happening with the live market and the feeders. If it'll get over there for me. Ooh, it went too fast. Hang on. My bad. Come on. What is going on here? My computer's just bear with me here. My computer is malfunctioning. Mainly human error going on right here. Here we go. All right. Live cattle for October, 146, 77. December's 152, 27. February's 155, 92. April is 159, 07. November, feeder cattle, 177, 60. January, 179.37. Lean hogs, December is 185.62. February, 89.02. And April, 93.50. All right, let's see what's happening with the markets. How's that? From Oklahoma and Texas last week, the weekly livestock summaries. Texas, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $5 higher. Trade was moderate to active on good demand. Winter wheat pastures are turning green after recent rain, which is a relief after the summer drought. Slaughter cows and bulls were mostly steady. Supply included 85% feeder cattle, 10% slaughter cattle and 4% replacement cattle. That replacement cattle deal is easing up 1% at a time by the week. Total receipts was 5,865 head, compared to 5,700 the week before and 6,600 last year. All right, let's check out some prices, just a few of them. Let's go with the 400-pound steers, 409 winged, brought up to 226 a pound. Unwinged, 195. Some 568-pounders, 187. 625-pounders, 179 was top end. And then we got some 700-pounders, 169 unwinged, top end. And some winged ones was 179.50. I noticed that gap between the unwinged and winged is slowly closing in a little bit. It was anywhere from 10 to 15 to 18 cents a pound difference. Now it's down to about 10 cents a pound difference, and that's in Texas. They had some 810 pounders, 173.50. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers and steer calves $2 to $5 higher, feeder heifers steady to $3 higher, heifer calves $1 to $3 higher, some instances of $10 higher on lighter weights. Demand very good this week in all classes. Rains across the state has definitely lightened the mood, which it did, though more rain is needed. Cash slaughter prices improved once again and moved to the $150 mark in the south. Slaughter cows sold steady to $3 higher. Slaughter bulls sold $2 lower. Cow numbers slowly beginning to come down in area auctions. Supply included 83% feeder cattle, 15% slaughter cattle, and 2% replacement cattle. All right, 28,895 head went through the arenas last week, compared to 31,994 the week before, and about the 29,000 this time last year. Let's see what Oklahoma was doing in here. We got some 333 100-pounders, 232.50 was top end. Had some 322s, which was 220 top end, and then more unwinged. So about 10 to 12% difference there. And then they had some that weighed 338 with value added, brought 232. 400-pounders, let's check those out. 420, 214 was top end. Had some fancy ones that was 230. Thin fleshed ones was 215. And then some unwinged ones around 430 brought 205. And then down here, some unwinged ones weighing 466, 203 was the top end on them. So the market looks like it's slowly creeping back up with these rains we got and this warm weather. The wheat pasture is growing a little bit, but I'm not sure it'll get done in time to make a difference here. So we'll see what happens going on that deal. All right. When I get back, we'll talk about the Texas hay report for the panhandle. And I got all kinds of things to talk to you about today, anywhere from cattle to farming. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply.
You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle, no matter where it may be. If you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Howdy, friends and neighbors. This is Monty Tucker from Sweetwater asking you to vote for my friend Kevin Stitt for governor. Stitt has spent the last 4 years protecting my family's way of life and standing up for rural Oklahoma. Special interest groups are spinning lies that he will hurt our rural schools, and that's just not true. I'm going to vote for the candidate that has proven he's with us the last 4 years, and not the candidate who might be. Vote Kevin Stitt on November 8th, and don't forget, a vote for Kevin Stitt is a vote for Blaine Arthur.
Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee. Authorized and paid for by Oklahomans for a Connected Future.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Not only is it going to be busy in the ag world, it's going to be busy in the politics world. Our election's coming up next Tuesday. Please don't sit at home thinking your vote doesn't count. Please go out and post and do your vote. Go get her done next Tuesday. Early voting's going on this week. I guess every county board's probably different. You need to check with your county election board to see when the early voting is available to go do it. I know I'll probably get in there early when Beckham County gets going here. If it ain't already, I need to check on it. That shows you that I'm not big into it. But please go vote. Your vote does count. And this is a big vote in Oklahoma this year. We got on the U.S. level, on the state level, and on the local level. So be sure and go out and vote, please. Anyway, I want to welcome Calman's Feed and Ranch Supply today. They're a new sponsor on the show. I appreciate them being a sponsor there in Eric. Go check them out there. Easy to find right there to just, I think, yeah, just, it's just easy to find in Eric. So go check out Calman's Feed and Ranch Supply. All right, let's check out some other stuff here. How about that Texas Direct Hay Report? Compared to the last report, hay prices are steady to firm in all regions of Texas. Hay demand is mostly moderate to good. According to the Texas Crop Progress and Condition Report, most of the state received from trace amounts up to 3 inches of precipitation last week in the areas of the Northern Plains and the Blacklands receiving to no rain. Drought conditions range from none to exceptionally dry, with isolated parts of the south central plains of Texas and the plains and the backlands from the driest. Winter wheat planted reached 75%. That's up 4 points from the previous year. Winter wheat emerged reached 46%. That's down 1 point from the previous year. Livestock and range conditions are rated 62%, very poor to fair. Hay supplies are tightening across the state as supplemental feeding has continued over limited summer supplies. Hay is still moving into the state from bordering states, but trucking and freight rates continue to be a struggle for producers and have large impacts on delivered prices. And I'm sure it's going on. You have to check with your Texas AgriLife, but you know the government is helping with the trucking if you have to go over certain mileage and be under certain mileage. So check with your county Texas AgriLife to see if they can help you with some of that trucking cost. They will be glad to. All right, let's see what's happening in the panhandle of Texas as far as hay prices are concerned. Alfalfa, premium, supreme, large squares, 3x4s, anywhere from 380 to 410, and that's delivered. Bermuda grass, premium, small squares, running anywhere from 280 to 330 dollars a ton, and no delivery freight on that. Bermuda grass, premium, on small squares, $10 to $14 per bale. How about that? That's on the little bales. Bermuda grass, good to premium on large rounds, anywhere from 208 to 240 a ton. Bermuda grass on good to premium large rounds, 130 to 150, and that's per bale. Bermuda grass, good on small squares, ranging anywhere from $235 to $275 a ton. And that's what's happening with your Texas Direct Hay Report as of last Friday. How about that? All right. You guys thinking about grazing some alfalfa? And the reason why I'm talking about this, driving around in the last 3 or 4 days, I noticed there's some alfalfa out there that looks really good. Depending on the weather, they might get another cut and they might not. Just all depends. But there's some good growth out there on the alfalfa, and with the forage in a lack of supply, if you want to call it, people are probably going to be grazing alfalfa. I know I would. But with dry conditions across most of the western United States, grazing regrowth on irrigated alfalfa fields is likely in fall grazing plans for many producers. Alfalfa is a fairly good drought-tolerant crop and will produce forage in dry conditions. However, alfalfa has several challenges to grazing from animal and plant health perspective. With its high salutable protein content, alfalfa can easily cause bloat in cattle, and so cattle should be monitored very closely, especially the first few days of grazing. One of the keys to reducing bloat when grazing alfalfa is not to create situations that will cause large swings in forage intake. In any situation, this would cause cattle to become overly hungry before or while grazing alfalfa, and it can be problematic. One method to mitigate the incidence of bloat, to adapt cattle to the alfalfa very slowly. First, move the cattle to the alfalfa field after the morning grazing bout on grass pasture. This way the rumen is full and cattle will not consume large amounts of alfalfa right away. Another method is to only allow cattle access to the alfalfa field for a few hours each day for the first few days, so the cattle are consuming other grass forage. However, monitor cattle, as some may learn after a few days that they will get access to the alfalfa and wait to eat till then. A third method to prevent bloat is to the use of feed additive called poloxylene. I hope I said that right. The compound acts as a surfactant in the rumen to inhibit frothy bloat and can be delivered in a feed supplement or a mineral mix. A combination of those methods will likely provide the best bloat prevention. Grazing alfalfa after a light freeze, especially followed by warm days, can increase bloat problems before freezing ruptured plant cells release more soluble proteins. Cattle should be monitored closely when temperatures approach freezing and possibly removed from alfalfa until the nighttime temperatures return to normal. Besides potential issues with cattle, grazing alfalfa can cause issues with the plant. There are two types of alfalfa. those for hay and those for grazing. This does not mean that you cannot use either type for the other situation, but it does mean that additional care should be taken. Varieties of hay production are bred to produce high quality tonnage based on infrequent complete harvesting of above ground plant material, which this allows the plant to regrow and put down more energy reserves in its roots. But hay production varieties have poor grazing tolerance due to the frequent removal of above ground plant material by the cattle. Hay varieties can also have more bloat potential. In contrast, grazing varieties were bred to withstand more frequent removal of above ground plant material by cattle, resulting in a more persistent stand. Grazing varieties are also less bloat prone, but not bloat free. The grazing management system needs to be adjusted to that type of alfalfa. Alfalfa regrows from the crowns, which are at the soil surface, and heavy hoof traffic can damage the crowns. Grazing management needs to take this into account and consider such things as soil moisture conditions and repeated trampling of plants. Removing cattle if the soil becomes too soft from moisture and rotating cattle to new areas of the field can reduce that trampling are the ways to minimize damage to the crowns. In contrast to overnight frost, a killing freeze followed by cold days can significantly reduce bloat problems, but also reduces the nutrient value of the forage. Grazing killed alfalfa should occur in a few days, weeks after the killing freeze to capture as much of the nutrition value as possible. Additionally, hoof traffic on frozen ground caused less damage to alfalfa crowns. How about that? So, like I said, I just wanted to go over that with you guys. I've seen where there's some good-looking alfalfa still out there right now, but sooner or later, frost will be here, so I don't know if it's going to anybody's going to get another cutting or not, but I bet somebody will try, and if it's worth it, it should be good. All right, what do we got here? Oh, I wanted to go over the reason why the markets were up today. Wheat, corn, and soybean futures were all higher in overnight trading after Russia ended its agreement allowing ships to transport ag products out of Ukraine. Russia exited the deal called the Black Sea Grain Initiative for an indefinite period. The agreement was brokered by the United Nations and Turkey at the end of July and was designed to improve the flow of agriculture products globally to ease hunger. A drone attack on some Russian ships made them mad, and that's the home of the Black Sea Fleet. It was repelled on Saturday. Russian government officials said Russia said it could no longer guarantee the safety of civilian vessels and the shipping lanes. And I'm pretty sure that Ukraine's not going to shoot missiles, drones at their own ships, but I bet Russia is putting out some more mines. Who knows? It's just a war going on. While there was no movement through the so-called corridor on Sunday, 21 vessels registered under the agreement were near the three Ukrainian ports from which ships have sailed, carrying more than 700,000 metric tons of ag products. 9.52 million metric tons of grains and food supplies have been shipped from the Ukrainian ports since that agreement was put in place. All hope is not lost, however. Despite its exit from the agreement, Russian officials have agreed to continue negotiation with UN and Turkish officials. All right. Wheat futures for December delivery jumped 46.5 cents to $8.76 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures rose 40.5 cents to $9.65. Corn for December delivery surged 15.5 pennies to $6.96.25 a bushel, and soybean futures for January delivered 8.25 cents above to $14.08.5 a bushel. Soy meal gained $2.70 to $4.28 a short ton, while soybean oil rose 1.26 pennies to $73.05 a pound. Dry weather will lead to wildfire risks in parts of the western and central Nebraska today. Low humidity will increase the risk of fires, with high winds gusting up to 25 to 30 miles an hour. Further south in the southern plains and much of Oklahoma, thunderstorms are expected later this week, which may bring heavy rainfall to the state. This could give recently planted hard red winter wheat a boost. It should. The weather will become active late in the week and into the weekend as a potential storm system is expected to impact the region. Several rounds of showers and storms will be likely with locally heavy rainfall. And I'm one of those guys, I hope, especially in Greer County, that we get a good heavy rain to fill those ponds up for the winter, because they are looking pretty sad at the moment. Speaking of weather, let's see what's happening for the northwestern Oklahoma. It looks like it's 70 degrees right now at the Woodward Airport. The winds are out of the south, southwest at 6 miles an hour. Humidity is 27%, so it's pretty dry up there. Looks like today 73 for a high, Tuesday 77, Wednesday 77, Thursday 76, Thursday night storms move in with 50% chance of showers, and Friday 40% chance of showers with a high of 59. Well, let's see what Mr. Jerry Nine has to say, and then when I get back, I'll go over your southwestern Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, October 25th, we sold 903 cow bulls and calves. Thursday, October 27th, we sold 2,788 calves and feeders for a total of 3,691 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 70 up to 86. 10 cows bring 48.5 to 62, with our bulls bringing 65 to 101. Two-day year old bred cows, 875 to 1,300, with our two-day year old pairs, 1,300 to 1,350. Under steer cattle, 3,350 weight steers, 212 to 228, 4 to 450, 203 to 211, 5 to 550, 161 to 196, 6 to 650, 169 to 186, 7 to 750 steers, 161 to 178, 8 to 850, 166 to 167, 9 to 950 steers, 162 to 172.50. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 173 to 189, 4 to 450, 180 to 191. 5 to 550 heifers, 148 to 168.5, 6 to 650, 148 to 171, 750 day weight heifers, 148 to 163, 8 day 50 heifers, 160 to 162, and 55 heifers weighing 933, bring 168, that's $1,567 a head. Very aggressive market, particularly on the long wing feeder steers. Calves were 3 to 5 higher. Our unwing good strength of them good calves was up to 15 higher. For this Tuesday, November the 1st, we will have 40 bred cows, 4 to 8 years old. We got 50 other bred cows and a few pairs off of them, running age. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp, Thanksgiving Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 24th. 1,978 head were sold, 13 head of steers at 430 brought 207, 5 at 509 brought 184, 16 at 529 brought 181, 14 at 565 brought 175, 5 at 579 brought 170, 3 at 667 brought 144, 4 at 793 brought 171, 13 head of heifers at 438 brought 176, 9 at 507 brought 157, 3 at 570 brought 145. 4 at 646 brought 153, 3 at 665 brought 167, 18 at 669 brought 166.50, 4 at 1023 brought 130. Butcher cows were 7 to 80, butcher bulls brought 35 to 108, bred cows were 900 to 1375. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Simon's Catch Restaurant, offering the elegant beauty of the country with the delicious food of Elk City's finest restaurant. Simon's Catch offers a superb menu, including all-you-can-eat farm-fresh catfish, family recipe shrimp, and USDA choice steaks. Get out of the kitchen and get into Simon's Catch Restaurant. From I-40 Exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west. Open Wednesday through Saturday at 5 and Sunday at noon. Simon's Catch, for the best catch.
After waiting in line for a while, it's finally your turn. So you give your name, and she looks for your prescription. She finally finds it, looks at you, and then looks at the prescription again. She's either never seen you before, or she can't remember your name. You break the silence by explaining your symptoms. She might say, "Oh, that's too bad." Or she might not say anything at all. Then she finds your medicine and tells you how much you owe. Or you go the other route. You walk through the door in the middle of town, and you recognize that really good smell. Someone says, "Hello." If you're a repeat customer, they call you by name. This feels familiar. This feels good. At the counter, they ask how you're doing. When you tell them about the prescription, they find it quickly, and then they get you the medicine you need. They say, "Hope you get to feeling better soon." For your family's medicine, do you just want to be a customer, or do you want to be someone your pharmacist knows and cares about? Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, 1220 West 3rd in Elk City.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a 4-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
~70 here at the Elk City Mesonet Center. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden, southwestern Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle forecast. Sunny and 71 today. Sunny and 73 tomorrow. Wednesday, mostly sunny, 72. Thursday, mostly cloudy, 74. Thursday night, we have a 50% chance of rain showers. Friday, 64 for a high, and a chance of rain showers is 40%. How about that? All right. We'll keep you up to date on the storms as we go along. All right. Here we go. The market is telling you it needs the grain now. So don't get caught up in these day-to-day headlines as I read them, you know, every day. Part of my job. But I always go start out with what's causing the chaos today. And so just don't get caught up too heavily in it. You know, the diesel fuel shortage gets your attention. Tight production supplies, lower yields, and uncertain exports out of Ukraine have kept markets in a sideways trading range basically since it started, that war started back earlier this year, but especially in the last 2 or 3 months, allowing producers to harvest grain and take advantage of elevated prices. Nearby corn futures have traded between $6.60 and $7 since September. Exports are slow and half what they were a year ago, but lower than expected yields, ethanol demand, and feed use have managed to keep prices from falling even during harvest. The strong dollar and the lack of exports, along with slower barge traffic due to the lower Mississippi River flows, have kept prices from climbing above the $7 mark with corn. Also providing resistance is a good start to the South America crop, especially in Brazil. Nearby soybean futures have traded between $13.50 and $14 all fall. Slow demand and slowing economies concerns worldwide, along with the low river level, has kept prices from pushing through that resistance. Crush and lack of nearby supply and lower than expected yields provide support. This means as a producer, you have a greater risk management concern. Be on top of your sales. With little to no carry in these markets, storage costs should be limited. The market is telling you it needs the grain now. The window for sales is getting smaller, with the potential for the river to close, and we get closer to the winter when South American crops will be available. Also ahead in November, we see a new monthly supply and demand report. On November 9th, Russia will decide if the corridor for exports out of Ukraine should remain open, which it's still open right now, but they can't guarantee the safety. But anyway, we'll see what happens next week, the day after the election. How's that? So as harvest winds down, marketing risk could go up. So don't get caught in the day-to-day headlines. Stick to your plan and manage your risk with the puts, or if you want to own grain, buy calls for re-ownership. Be safe and try to enjoy the beauty of the season between the runs of the field and the elevator. How about that? Anyway, just a little FYI out there for you. Let's see what Lieutenant James sent me earlier here. Let's check on the deer report. All right. Here we go. This is for his counties only, which is a lot of our listening area. As of right now, the grand total of does shot in Beckham, Custer, Dewey, Ellis, Greer, Harmon, Jackson, Kiowa, Roger Mills, Tillman, and Ouachita County. 363 does have been harvested with archery. 337 bucks have been harvested. And looks like who's the hot spot this year going on right now? Jackson County is actually in the lead right here. 58 does and 52 bucks. And then coming in second is Dewey County. 49 does and 40 bucks. See who's got third place. See if I can figure that up real quick. Looks like Kiowa County, 37 does and 36 bucks been shot, harvested during the archery. All right, let's check out what's happening with muzzle loading. We have a total, season's over, 304 does were harvested, 330 bucks were harvested. So let's check this out here real quick. Let's see who's number one. Man, I guess it is Roger Mills County muzzleloader season. Well, they got in there on Black Kettle and the other public hunting in there. They're hitting in their number one. And then Dewey County, another second place for you in the muzzleloading season. Let's see what here in Beckham total so far this year, including archery and muzzleloader, 189. Custer County, 129. Dewey County, 207 deer harvested already. Ellis County, 141. That's surprising. Greer County, 121. Harmon County, 75 head. Jackson County, 176. Kiowa County, 148. And Roger Mills County, you hit the top of the list. 251 deer, total deer harvested this year already. And then Tillman County, 121, and Ouachita County, 91. So Harmon and Ouachita, you guys, deer hunting ain't that good this year. Your hunters suck. Anyway, there was a sorry, I didn't, don't take that personal, it's a joke, okay? Anyway, got that going on. So anyway, congratulations to you people who have got it, and that also includes you season two, I believe. And anyway, congratulations to you guys that harvested deer, whether it's doe. Take some does. If you got a lot of does in your area, please take some does and get down, get the doe population down just a little bit. I never dreamed in my life growing up in the 60s and 70s that I would say harvest some does, because back there, especially in the 70s, you just didn't shoot a doe. You didn't even think about it. And if you did, it cost you. The game wardens back there, you guys remember who was Joey Deputy from Ouachita County, and what was his name in Custer? Oh, I came in. And then we had Mr. Dameron for Roger Mills County. Oh, and then we had, man, my brain's dead today. I can't think of all those game wardens back in. Close Bond was Custer County. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because he issued my one and only ticket I ever got in the wildlife department. And I learned a lesson, and I've been an angel ever since. Take that for what it's worth. So anyway, it was all good. All right, let's see what. Hey, I got a few tips for you before the show's over, because I know there's some people out there that still feed bottle calves. And so I've got just a couple tips for you real quick. Number one, within the first hour of birth, a calf needs 5 to 6 pints of high-quality colostrum, and then again within the next 12 hours. Number two, day two and thereafter, calves can be fed twice a day with a calf bottle and a calf nipple. Number three, during the first 3 weeks of his life, calves should be fed a milk replacer that contains all milk proteins made from dry skim milk and whey products. All right. Number four, during the first couple of weeks, calves will be just nipple starter, calf starter, and only give them about 6 ounces and remove the remaining feed daily. And that's a calf starter, sweet feed, I call it. Number five, calves can be weaned from milk when they're eating a pound or 2 pounds of calf starter every day. And number six, last but least, calves can be weaned from milk either abruptly or gradually over 3 to 7 days. After weaning, changes in the grain mix and housing should be made one time over a 2-week period. All right, there you go. You guys have a great day. I got to get my stuff done and head to the peanut field. This is Jimmy Clark with Day in Ag. God bless.